In the sixth month of Isabel's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me, be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
As I said, this is the fifth carol service we've had since I became the pastor here. And normally my mother would come and join us this carol service each year. But as many of you know, my father's been ill the last few months and he's not up to making the journey this year. So they've not been able to get on the road and get here from the Midlands this year. Normally they'd arrive on the Friday night or maybe the Saturday morning and they'd spend the weekend with us. They'd go shopping in Cardiff and spend some time with us. Then on Sunday afternoon after dinner, just before the carol service, my mum will produce two big sacks of gifts for the children, one for Isabel and one for Patrick. And if I were to pour out those two sacks on the floor, I can promise you that there would be exactly the same number of wrapped presents in each sack. If you were to take a calculator and tot up the financial value of those bags, then as near as possible, they'd come out exactly the same. If one sack has got chocolates in of a particular brand, the other one will have as well. One sack will be girls' presents and one sack will be boys' presents. But as far as possible, they'll both be completely equal. Because my mum has a real fear, which is one of the grandchildren saying, "It's not fair. They got more than me. It's not fair. I wanted one of those. I wish I had their presents. That's not fair." I'm nearly 51 years old now, and as long as I can remember, it's been exactly the same in our house. Ever since my younger sister was born, she's been striving to be fair and make sure there's no complaints. I grew up in a household where fair was the key word. If one of us had a biscuit, then the other had to have a biscuit as well. If one of us had an ice pop, then we all had to have ice pops. And if there was only one left in the freezer, it was cut very precisely into three parts. When my fourth brother came along, we didn't get much ice pop. Everything was very fair. If one went to the cinema, we all went to the cinema. If one went on a school trip, then that would be stored away, ready for the next one to say, "Well, can I go on a trip as well?" Nobody ever got to say, "It's not fair." But when I was 11 years old, in Mr. Mason's class at Wobley Hall School in Coventry, and I just need to pause there because right at the back there's a young man here who's going to wave at me at this point, Malachi, who goes to Wobley Hall School, who goes to my old school in Coventry, and you're especially welcome tonight. But I remember when I was 11 years old, going to Wobley Hall School in Mr. Mason's class, there was an incident where I heard for the first time that I remember that the world wasn't fair. What had happened was that Mr. Mason, who was deputy headmaster and also our class tutor, had divvied the class up into two teams, and we were going out to play cricket, I think it was, and one of the boys said, "Sir, it's not fair. They've got one more than us, and they've got all the best players. It's not fair." And I remember Mr. Mason reaching over and tapping him on the back of the head and said, "Get used to it, lad. Life's not fair." I don't think you can do that anymore. But that was the point where I heard for the first time someone say, "Life's not fair. Get used to it." And it's true, isn't it? Life isn't fair. We're not all born equally good looking. We're not all born equally talented. We're not all born... Who's laughing at me at that? I'll speak to you later, girl. We're not all brought up in equally wealthy households. And we don't all go to equally good schools. We don't all marry equally brilliant partners who can cook like an angel. We don't all have equally good-looking children who work in brilliant places of employment. Life just isn't fair. If life was fair, I'd be able to hit a ball like Tiger Woods, because he can. And if life was fair, I'd be able to as well. But I can't. If life was fair, I'd be driving an Aston Martin DB9. If other people can do that, why can't I? If life was fair, you would all be married to chefs who can cook. Listen, I'm trying to earn brownie points. It turned out last year that the socket set wasn't such a good idea. But it was all the garage had left on Christmas Eve, so I'm working a bit harder this year. But if life was fair, you'd all be married to chefs who could cook fantastic food, look after children, do a part-time job, and still look pretty good. But you're not, so get used to it. Because life's not always as fair as we'd like it to be. To a young woman named Mary, 2,000 years ago, living in a small hill town called Nazareth, life must have seemed incredibly unfair. Her life was just about to start, and everything seemed to be working out just fine. She had everything that a young Jewish girl in her day could possibly have wanted. She was betrothed to be married. The two families had come together and they'd agreed terms and they'd signed the marriage contract, the ketubah. They'd had a ceremony under the canopy, under the chuppah. Promises had been made. It was what every Jewish girl and her father dreamed of. Everything was just going right. The promises had been made, the vows had been exchanged, wine had been drunk, and then the glass smashed. Mazel tov! Life's great, and life's just beginning the way that it should be. And her future husband, Joseph, had made the traditional speech where he said, "I'm going now to my father's house, and I'm going to prepare a room for you, and when it's ready, I'll come back and take you home, so that we can begin our new married life together." And they were betrothed, the first part of the marriage ceremony had been done, and she was waiting for this second part, when life could really begin. That day when her groom would return at night to the house and collect her and take her home, and there'd be a big party, and the marriage would be consummated, and they'd begin their new life in question, in a new house that he'd prepared. The man in question had a trade. He wasn't just a labourer or a shepherd or a nobody. He had his own business, a carpenter. What more could she want? And into this perfect story steps, of all things, an angel. An angel, for heaven's sake. Who would have thought of that? And what does the angel say to her? He says, Hail Mary, greetings Mary, full of grace amongst women. God is with you. I know you're a virgin, and I know your future husband doesn't know anything about this, and I know your dad isn't going to be very happy, and the neighbours, boy, oh boy, are they going to have something to gossip about, but I've got some news for you. You're going to have a baby boy, and you'll call him Jesus. What's that about? That wasn't in the script. That wasn't how things were supposed to be going next. That's not fair. And at that point, Mary's life could have gone one of two ways. She could have kicked off and grumbled and complained about just how unfair life really was. Why me? Why not someone else? There's loads of people who actually want babies. Pick on one of them. Why choose me? It's just not fair. But she didn't choose to go that way. She chose to go another way. An angel? From God, are you? A messenger from the Lord? Well, I'm the Lord's servant, and this may not be exactly what I would have chosen. This may not have been exactly what I envisioned. This may not have been what I would have chosen, but I am the Lord's servant. So let it be just the way you said it would be. And the rest of that story, the glorious rest of that story, is, as they say, history. History that we all know, and that 2,000 years later we gather here to celebrate. Because a young girl who wasn't going to get exactly what she wanted didn't say, it's not fair. She said, yes, okay. What about the fiancé? What was going on in Joseph's mind? He knew he'd never slept with Mary, so who had? What was he supposed to think? Should he break the contract publicly because of her apparent infidelity? Or should he quietly call things off to avoid public disgrace? He hadn't done anything wrong, and yet people were thinking he had. It just wasn't fair. But we read in Matthew's Gospel how an angel came to Joseph in a dream and explained what was going on. And in verse 24 of that first chapter of Matthew, it says that when he woke up, he did exactly what God wanted. He went over to Mary's house and he fetched her and he brought her back to his house. And completed that ceremony, completed the two-part wedding. And here we are, 2,000 years later, speaking his name and telling his story. And the rest, as they say, is history. There's a saying in the world of card playing. It's not the hand that you're dealt that matters. It's how you deal with the hand. It's not the hand you're dealt. It's how you deal with the hand. In other words, it's not how good or bad life is, how fair or unfair, how desirable or undesirable the situation turns out to be. It's the question of what are you going to do with it now? Now things have fallen this way. What are you going to do with it? Mary's choice was to say, God, may it be as you said. Joseph's choice was to say, I know what the neighbours are saying. I know what people are thinking, but God, let it be as you say. About 30 years later, something else unfair was going on. That baby born to Mary, brought up by Joseph as his own, had grown into a man, and he was just about to be horribly, horribly murdered. He'd never done anything wrong. The scriptures tell us, the Bible tells us, that he was without sin. He'd done nothing wrong. He didn't deserve it. But he was about to be put to death on a cross on a hill outside a city wall between two thieves. He knew what was coming. And on the night before he was arrested and put to death, he had a choice to make. Would he do what he wanted, which was to escape from the storm that was about to come? He got down on his knees and said, I don't want to do this. If there's any way I can get out of this, Father, get me out of it. Would he go that way? Or would he say, but not my will, but what you want, God? It wasn't fair. And it didn't seem right. But his choice that day was to say, Lord, according to your will. And again, the rest, the glorious rest, the rest of the story is history. It wasn't what he was presented with so much as mattered as how he responded. Not my will, but yours. I don't know you all here tonight, but sometimes life doesn't seem fair. Things happen which we're not expecting. Things happen which we don't deserve. Things get said which are not true and not nice. Life isn't always fair. It wasn't fair to a young virgin named Mary. It wasn't fair to an honest young man named Joseph. And it certainly wasn't fair to Jesus. And yet those folk, by saying, Lord, let me do what you want, by doing that, something incredible came to pass. It's not the cards you dealt with that matter. It's how you deal with the cards. It's not who you are or what you want or how you start life or how much money you have or which school you went to or what job you've got or who you marry. It's what you're going to do with it that really matters. There's one area of life in which God has been very, very fair. He's been very, very equal. His offer of Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas, and his offer of eternal life is presented to all people equally. Age, race, sexuality, colour, creed, education, religious background, they don't matter. Their offer is equally there for all people. In a few moments, we're going to have a reading from John's Gospel to complete our carol service. And that offer in that reading is made to everyone, to all who will receive him, who believe in his name, the name of Jesus. He gives the right to become children of God. Here's an offer before every one of us here tonight. The offer of new life through Jesus. The right to be called a child of God. And we've all got a choice to make. No, that's not what I want. I know what it's what you want, God. I know what it's what on offer, but it's not what I want. Or, yes, Lord, according to what you want, according to your word, according to what you say. Maybe life has been good to you. Maybe life hasn't been good to you. Maybe you've been treated well. Maybe at times it seems that life hasn't been fair. Maybe you've been able to do what you want and get to the places in life that you want. Maybe you haven't. But here's an offer tonight from God, an opportunity. It's the same for all people. And what he's looking for is people who will say, yes, Lord, according to what you say, I'll do it. As Jesus offers out the offer of eternal life and holds it out before us, are we going to say, you know what, life hasn't been fair. I didn't get what I want. Or are we going to say, yes, Lord, according to your will. Amen.
Let us close with the blessing. Now may the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts this Christmas time. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.